God bless you. This is Prophetess Lindsay, host of the Prophetic Mentoring and Teleconference Line. Today we're doing a recording in lieu of hosting the line live because I had some other things planned for today. But nevertheless, we want to be found faithful in all areas that the Lord has called us to. So when we're able to do what God has called us to do, we should go ahead and do that. Even if we have to make concessions or we have to rearrange some things, I believe that we should be faithful in what God has called us to do. And I say that too because there are many in the body of Christ who start projects. And I don't know why I'm starting out going here. I haven't even introduced the topic yet. But there are many in the body of Christ who will start projects and start para-ministries, you know, ministries that are operated outside of the four walls of the church. And we get excited about it, and we get on fire about it, and we post and share. And then within the next month or 6 months or even a year afterwards, it just fizzles away. So I believe that God wants us to be finishers, and I believe that we have to endure to the end. When God puts something in our hands to do, I believe that He fully expects us to complete the task. Amen. So here we are, praise God. If I'm not able to teach the line live, I'll try to record it or give you something to keep, to keep the mentoring line open until the next time. So nevertheless, Father, we bless you and thank you. Glorify you, Lord God, for another day that you have allowed us to see. We are just ecstatic about your plan and your will for our life, which is good. We thank you, God, that you're turning things around in our favor. And Lord, we praise you for the word that will be released today. Lord God, that it will be a word that will thrust us into our purpose. As prophetic people, as prophets, as prophetic ministers, Lord God, we thank you that this word is going to thrust us into a new dimension of understanding and revelation. So we are so excited about that. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get my recording started, and then we'll go ahead and introduce the topic. The topic for this week is prophesy an ark. Prophesy an ark. A-R-K. Very interesting topic that the Lord had me to study and to look up. Now, the word ark in the Hebrew is the word teba. It's spelled T-E-B-A-H. Teba. And it doesn't have a very significant meaning as such. But when we look at it in terms of the context of the message, you'll find that it does have a significant meaning. So again, with the word, the topic for this week is prophesy an ark. And the word ark in the Hebrew is the word teba, which is spelled T-E-B-A-H. And it literally means a box, a chest, a basket, or a coffin. So hold that thought, okay? A box, a chest, a basket, or a coffin. And so that word is used about 28 times in the Old Testament. Now, some of the most popular examples that we would know about would be in the case of Noah and in the case of Moses. So I'm going to start with Noah. In the Word of God, beginning in Genesis chapter 5, and if you know your Old Testament history, you know where I'm going. In the beginning, well, not in the beginning, but praise God. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says that Noah was 500 years old, and he began to have children, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So you find at this age in his life, he began to produce and bring forth sons. Moving on down to, let's move on down to chapter 6. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 6, it came to pass that men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Daughters were born unto men. We find that this is where the Nephilim comes in, the fallen angels that came and had relations with the daughters of men, and they begin to produce a giant seed. Okay, this is where you get the Goliaths and all that from. And so anyway, the Lord saw that the Bible says in Genesis 6:6, it repented. Well, let me back up to Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And so the Lord said that he was going to destroy man, right? Verse 8, but Noah found grace. And there's something significant when we look back at Genesis 5:32, we find that Noah was 500 years old. Most of us know that the symbolic number for grace is 5. So that's kind of significant in and of itself. So you find at 500 years old, Noah finds grace right at the point where God is about to destroy the entire population of the earth. Okay, so thank God for favor. So in chapter 6, verse 10, Noah, moving down, Noah finds, where are we? Noah found grace in chapter 6, verse 8. And so it moves on. Now, moving down now, verse 13, Genesis 6, 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Here comes verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall you make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now that pitch was like a tar, like a waterproof tar. You're going to hear about that a little bit later. And so God gives Noah, he was a prophet, okay? Because he heard this word from the Lord. This was certainly was a rhema word. He heard this word from the Lord, and he began to follow the instructions that God had given him to a T. So God tells Noah in chapter 6, verse 14, make the ark out of wood, make rooms in the ark, cover the ark on the inside with this pitch, with this tar, waterproof tar, and on the outside. Now, of course, at this time, Noah has no idea why God is telling him to do this, but he's listening and hearkening to the instructions. Verse 15, and this is the fashion which you should make. So now God gives Noah the blueprint. Okay, listen to what this is saying, prophetic people. God gives Noah the blueprint. So the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Why? Why was God so specific? Because he knew who was going to be dwelling within that ark. He knew the extent of time that the ark was going to be needed to house the people that he called into the ark. Okay, so God knew how big he needed it. He knew the dimensions of it. He knew how long this thing was going to, this circumstance was going to ride out. And he wanted that ark to be sufficient. Okay. And so he says, make them a window, verse 16, and in a cubit, you shall finish it above, put a door, set it inside, a lower and a second and third story shall you make it. So make this three story ark. I want a door on the side. I want a window. I want it so far wide, so much of a width and so much of a height. All right. So much of a depth and so much of a height. So this was a very magnanimous structure that God had this prophet to build. And so he tells him in verse 17, now this is why I'm requiring you, or I'm giving you these instructions. And he tells him, behold, I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth. I'm going to destroy the flesh from under the heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant. You will come into the ark, your sons, your wife, and your sons with thee. In verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every kind, you will bring to the ark to keep them alive with you. They should be male and female. So I want to stop there for a moment because you know the story. Okay, it's also narrated in Genesis chapter 7, all the way through Genesis chapter 10. Okay, so if you want more context about it, or perhaps you just want to study it a little bit more, this is coming from Genesis chapter 5, verse 32 through Genesis chapter 10. So you find here that the Lord had foreseen a destruction that was coming upon the face of the earth, even though it was coming through his hand. Now, whether in our cases, whether this destruction is coming through the hand of the Lord or coming through our own human nonsense circumstances, things that we cause, or whether it's through some type of demon coming to attack us or what have you. You know, God will speak to his prophets and to his prophetic people, and he will give them insight and he will give them foresight. And so it's not enough let me say this because I feel like I need to say this. It's not enough now to just prophesy things to people. You know, and most of you, if you've been listening to me, if you've been following me, or if you've been connected to me for any period of time, you know, I'm very, you know, plain about I'm very straightforward about the way that I feel about, you know, prophesying people things. There's nothing wrong with it. But your prophetic ministry should not be limited to, it's time for a new car, it's time for a new house. Believe me, a person knows without any prophetic intervention
whether they need a new car or a new house. That's nothing new, okay? God is not going to raise up a prophet or raise and train and develop a prophetic people to prophesy something that you already, you know what I'm saying, that you don't need prophetic ministry for. You know, God is going to release you. Jesus came, he said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. So when you think about this in terms of prophetic ministry, we are sent to people who are, and I'm quoting, lost. Not lost in terms of salvation, but sometimes lost in terms of direction, and sometimes lost in terms of preparation. Sometimes people don't know what to prepare for. They're just living day by day, you know, from situation to situation, and they don't have that insight. They don't have, you know, that some of them don't have that mind to see into the future. You know, many people are living for today. And so God will raise a prophetic person to minister to that person, to help prepare them, to bring some things to their attention, to bring some things to their understanding, and to prepare them for what's to come. And so in the case of Noah and the ark, we can infer, okay, that there was a great catastrophic event that was about to take place in the earth. And God, even though he was frustrated with the people, and even though he had already made up in his mind, I'm going to destroy them, I'm going to start over, you know, their thoughts are continually wicked, this is not why I created mankind in the beginning. So God had already predetermined in his mind he was going to destroy the earth. But because of the merciful nature of God, and this is what we have to keep in mind too when we're prophesying to people, that, you know, they may be currently living in a sinful state, because not every prophetic word you get for a person is going to be for somebody who's walking the straight and narrow. Some of the prophetic words you get for people, they will be currently living in a sinful state. And even in that, you still have to prophesy and minister out of the mercy of God. That was the issue God had with Jonah. Yes, Nineveh, they're heathens, they're pagans, but there was a merciful side of God that gave those people an opportunity to repent from their wrongdoings. And if they would have repented, then the destruction would have been averted. So even in the case of, and our topic is still talking about prophesying the ark, because what God used Noah to do, I believe God is still using us as prophets and as prophetic people to do today, to prophesy an ark, that God will give us insight into the lives of his people, to where we're able to see a destruction, to where we're able to see or hear, okay, in our prophetic hearing, we're able to hear, you know, the word of the Lord concerning this family or concerning this situation, and not just step back and watch it unfold, but to step in, to partner with God, to step in and say, Father, let me build an ark. And so I believe that if we can infer, and if we can draw conclusions from Noah's ministry during his time, and you know what happened, people called him crazy. They had never seen rain coming from the sky before. During that time, God watered the earth from a mist from the ground. They had never seen anything like that before. And sometimes when you're dealing with a carnal person, and you're warning them, or you're giving them insight of things that they don't even know that's coming, you know, and that has happened, I'm sure that you've had situations where God has showed you something about a person's life and they don't get it. You all, I don't see it, but you know what God is telling you. And so you got to even prepare beyond their disbelief. Okay. That's a good nugget right there. You have to prophetically prepare someone for the destruction that's coming, or for the calamity, or whatever it is, the chaos that's coming, despite whether they believe it or not. You know, whether when Noah built that ark, Noah didn't build that ark contingent upon the faith that everybody else had. Noah built that ark contingent upon his relationship with God, contingent upon the grace and the favor that he had found with the Lord. And so in some of your cases, when God is going to send you to people or to places or regions or what have you, and he will bring a situation to your understanding, something that's coming, something that's down the line, and God will use you to prepare the people and to forewarn them, and not just to prepare, not just to forewarn, but to prepare. Hey, this is coming. God is going to destroy the earth. Let me build an ark so that when that time of destruction comes, you have a place, a safety net to run into. And so when we as prophetic people prophesy an ark, what we're doing is we are in the realm of the spirit. We are building a basket or a cage or a box, and we are surrounding them One of my favorite scriptures, and those of you that have heard me teach and preach, I quote this probably all the time. One of my favorite scriptures, because it blessed me so much when I found it in the Word of God, is that it's in Ecclesiastes, and it says that when a hedge is broken, a serpent will bite. And that hedge, it means protection. Okay, it means a covering. And so when you're prophesying to a person, you are, in a spiritual sense, because prophets, especially those that are called to the office of the prophet, you are building. You are building a box. You are building a hedge about that person's life, that when that storm comes and that when that flood comes, if that person will grab hold to the words of wisdom and the words of instruction that God has used you to give, that word alone will provide a safety net. It will provide a safety mechanism that will hold them. You know, it will be that footing for them as they walk on the water. It will undergird them. It will uphold them. It will keep their minds when they're in a situation to where it feels like they're going to lose it. That prophetic word, like Paul told Timothy, do warfare with it. Be reminded that God has already spoken into your life concerning this thing that's about to come to pass. So when we as prophetic people prophesy an ark, what we're doing, we are looking beyond the devastation of a person's life. And we're looking beyond their circumstances. We're even looking beyond their present sinful state. Because if you would think about it, when Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary, he looked beyond all of our sinful states. He looked beyond your sinful state. He looked beyond mine. Matter of fact, he paid the price for sins that I hadn't even committed yet. Okay, so, you know, prophecy does not just come to people that you like or to people that are, are on the good side of the Lord, if I can say that. But prophecy will even come to unbelievers, because that's God's heart, to love mankind and to give them a chance to receive salvation and to be delivered from the destruction that comes as a result of sin. And the sin, the consequences of sin. You know, it's God's redemptive nature to provide a place of escape. Amen. Even in times of temptation, God said, you know, I will not tempt you above that which you are able to bear. Even in the temptation, I will give you a way of escape. I will give you the strength to say no. Now that decision is yours, but I will empower you to say no. I will make a way for you of escape. So as prophetic people, going back to Noah was so... when he followed these instructions, let me get back into what the scripture says about this. And God even tells Noah who's coming into the ark. Because listen, as you're prophesying and as you're building and as you're creating this safety place, say, for example, I'm real careful with my words. So I'm telling you, words have power. But say, for instance, you come into a situation with a person to where you see that there's a foreclosure coming down the line, right? You see a foreclosure ahead. Right now, they don't see that, okay? Their bills are paid. They're making good money. They don't see that. But you, through the eye of the Spirit, through the ear of the Spirit, you're able to hear and you're able to see something that's coming. So God uses you to go in and to forewarn that person. Hey, my brother, my sister, I see some trouble with your house. I see keys being snatched. I mean, especially if you have a seer anointing, you may see that a crow or a vulture or some other type of devouring bird of the air taking a key or taking the lock off the door, something to that nature, okay? And so God is revealing that thing to you. He's revealing to you the plots and the plans of the wicked concerning their life. And God is using you to go in, to uproot, to pull down, pluck down. You know what I'm saying? God is using you to do that. And so here you approach the brother, the sister, and you tell them, hey, you know, brother, sister, man of God, woman of God, I see something. God is showing me this and so forth. This is what the Lord will have you to do. Put some money to the side. Get you some home mortgage insurance. Pull back in your spending. You're building an ark. Okay. Now let me tell you something. When you start dealing with people in their finances, people get real touchy about that. But nevertheless, you've got to do what God is telling you to do. So you're going in and you're bringing the warning. I see this flood coming to your house. I see the enemy try to come in as a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard. Here is how God is going to do that. God is telling you to invest. God is telling you to open up another account or whatever the thing is. But as you're giving them these words, you're literally building, okay? Or I guess I should say you're figuratively building an ark. You're building a safety net. You're using wood that's pitched. Okay, this thing is waterproof. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said, the fire will not kindle upon you, neither will the waters overtake you, right? So no matter what trial that you're going through, you got to know that God's got you. You got to know, praise God, that he's not going to let the waters, even with Jonah, you know, he's not going to leave your soul in hell. He's not going to let the seaweed choke you about your neck. So God's going to bring you out, because circumstances feel like that. Circumstances feel like you're being drowned, like you're just flooded about, overwhelmed, and compassed about with sorrows. But you go in, okay, as a prophetic maker, like Paul, the apostles were the tent makers, and you know, they give you a place to dwell, praise God, but the prophets give you a place of protection, and then that's a good nugget right there, praise God. So you go in as a prophetic ark designer, okay, an ark engineer, and you go in and you start to build. You see where the enemy is trying to hit, you see where the enemy's coming in, or you even see doors that they have left open through ignorance, through rebellion, through disobedience, whatever the situation is. And God is using you now to use gopher wood, okay? He's using you now to use the strongest wood available. He's using you to pitch that thing on the inside and on the outside, and you're putting mortar to it, praise God. You're making sure this thing and their life is waterproof, so that when this situation does come, okay, because God's word cannot fail, when this situation does come, God is going to see them through. So even in the case of Noah, you find that that the flood came. Noah warned the people. And the scripture said in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, for 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Every living thing will be destroyed. And so Noah did as God commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. So you find now this thing, it took 100 years for Noah to build this ark. You know, time back then was not as it is now. Or maybe so, I don't know. But what I do know, it was a long time. It was a long time. And so when that time came upon Noah in Genesis 6:11, the Bible says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep open up and the windows of heaven were open. All right? And it rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So the warning that God gave the people surely came to pass through the prophet Noah. Noah had made provisions. And listen, that thing not only, and because I believe when you build arks for others, I believe God builds one for you. You know, I'm a firm believer, and I say this a lot too in my teachings, that some of us are waiting for breakthroughs in our lives, but we won't be the breakthrough in somebody else's life. We won't do what God has told us to do. We won't follow instructions, or either we do and we try to manipulate it, or we try to abbreviate it. You know how some of us do. We don't do all of what God said because it's going to cost you too much. So we either try to manipulate it or we try to abbreviate it. In either of those cases, you're still coming short of the assignment. And I believe that this is why many of us, even prophets and prophetic people, have not experienced the breakthroughs in their life that they were looking for and believing God for, because they fell short in their obedience. Okay? You have to be a seed in somebody else's life. All right? You got to pour yourself out as a drink offering. Jesus gave his life so that we can live. Jesus Christ, the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You're going to have to learn how to pour yourself out. Okay, you're going to have to learn, praise God, to be a sacrifice. One of the words that we just ended our School of Prophets and Seers a few days ago. And one of the words that one of my students gave was that the Lord said he wants his people to learn how to be a sacrifice. Be that lamb sacrifice. Now, we know Jesus is the lamb. Come on. But I'm talking about learning how to bleed. All right. This was a hard task for Noah. You know, he's got to warn these people, okay? He's got to build this ark. He's got to convince his wife, his sons, their wives. He's got to gather all of these animals. You know what I'm saying? This was not just, you know, this was not a popcorn prophecy. And again, this is why I'm stressing the importance of allowing God to stretch us in our prophetic gifts and in our prophetic ministries and in our prophetic calls. Allowing God to, you know, stretch us, because it doesn't cost you nothing to prophesy a car. It doesn't cost you nothing to say, oh, I see this anointing on your life. That doesn't cost you anything. But to be able to go deep, okay, the Bible says here that the fountains of the deep were broken up. When you go into the fountains of the deep and you begin to bring out revelation or insight or revelation concerning a person's life that they may not have never even crossed their mind. You know, they just may never thought about it. Well, I never thought about this can happen. And so God uses you to go into the fountains of the deep, break up the chains and the padlocks, and bring out a revelation to the people to the point that they can prepare themselves. They can be watching over that word as God watches over from the heaven. They're watching over it from the earth standpoint. And so when that destruction comes, they're fully prepared. They have a place of escape. They've made provisions for the day of calamity. They've made provisions for the day of destruction. So I believe this is what God is saying to us, that we as prophetic people, you know, God wants us to go deeper in the gift. He wants us to go deeper in the call. And it's beyond some of this, you know, surface stuff. Now, listen, be faithful where you are. If that's where you are, be faithful there. But go deeper. Allow God to take you deeper and pay the price for it. And when I say pay the price, what I mean is you're going to have to spend some more time in fasting. You're going to have to spend some more time in prayer. You're going to have to spend some more time in solitude. Now, I don't mean shut yourself off and, you know, just become antisocial, okay? But what I'm saying is there will be times that you can't go to the party, okay? There will be times where God will pull you back in and say, no, daughter, no, son, that's not for you. You cannot connect with this one in this season, okay? There are some people that are just noisy in the spirit. They're noisy and they are a distraction. You know, and they love God. Don't get me wrong. Some of these people really love God. But I feel like what the Lord is saying to some of you today, that there are some people in your life who are noisy. And when I say noisy, because I have my own, let me tell you, I got my own terminology for stuff. But when I say noisy, I mean, they're just loud. And I don't mean volume loud, spiritually loud. When they come around you, things just get off track. You know, they distract you. Just something happens, okay? Something weird happens in the spirit when they come around you. And again, these people, they love God. I'm sure they love God. But in this season, God is saying, you know what? Not right now. You know, that type of noise, that type of friendship may not be what you need for this season. As God is mentoring and developing and cultivating you, that may not be what's good for you right now. So you have to know your seasons, okay? You have to know when God wants to take you and thrust you further in your prophetic gifting. You know, we right now, especially with the release of the false prophets and the contaminated prophets, the false and the contaminated true prophets, you know, God really wants his people to be a sound voice of wisdom, counsel, and instruction. Okay, a sound voice, sound in doctrine, sound in theory. You know, just sound and not just tossed to and fro. And if you're mad, your prophecy is mad. If you feel good, you got good prophecy. I mean, you just, you know, whatever you go through, that your prophecy is colored by your circumstances. You know, if I'm in a good mood, God's going to bless you. If I'm in a bad mood, God is mad. You know, we got to get delivered past this. Okay, we cannot bring God, bring God's word. We can't bring God's words down to our emotions. All right. If you're mad, then get over it. You understand what I'm saying? Get over it, praise God, because just because you're mad doesn't mean God is mad, all right? So, you know, we can't put God's word in our emotions in the same box. It just won't work. Let me try to move forward. So anyway, y'all know the story with Noah. He built that ark. That ark was soundproof. It was waterproof, praise God. Listen, it was even demon-proof. You know, it was even distraction-proof. So as you're building arcs in people's lives, you got to build it the same way Noah built his ark. Don't you love that? Don't you love the word of God? You got to build that ark to be waterproof. All right. That means you don't allow anything to come in there to sweep the people off their feet, to overwhelm them. You're going to have to build them in the word. Praise God. You're going to build them in faith. All right. You're going to have to build them to be soundproof, to where they're not distracted by the noises. But let me tell you something. As people were drowning, all right, you know, they heard some noise. You know, they heard some knocking on the door, and Noah told them, I cannot let you in. If you're building an ark in somebody's life and that ark is not soundproof, they'll let folk in. Somebody will stand outside the door and try to enter in or breach that door in a season in that person's life where God said, not so. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it's not your fault, but what I'm saying is when we build, we want to build with precision. You know, you don't want to leave leaks. You don't want to build with, have you seen some of these new housing developments that have gone up? They go up so quick. Back in the day, it would take months to build a house. Nowadays, you give these fellas a week And my, I mean, I know they got new technology, but gee whiz, some of these houses go up so quick. And then, you know, and I visited some people's houses, and praise God, if you lean on the wall too hard, you got a big hole in it. I mean, it's built quick, and it's built with flimsy, cheap material. All right. We don't want to be those type of builders. We don't want to build arts and people's lives with cheap, flimsy material. Oh, God says it's going to be all right. Oh, God said he loved you. You know what I'm saying? You hadn't paid for that word. You know, that word has no, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That word is a flimsy word, praise God. It's a flimsy word. And so you want to build with solid material. Go for wood, people of God. Go for wood. Oh, excuse me. You want to build with solid materials. You want to build that person's life so much that when that trial actually hits their life, let me tell you something. They are so rooted and they are so established and firmly planted in the word of God that they're like, devil, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at the situation because, come on, they made a window in the ark. They were able to look out and see the devastation, but the Bible said it would not come up on me. It would not come upon my dwelling. So you're building, and you're building with gopher wood, and you're building with all of these tools and things that you paid a price for. All right. You paid a price in prayer. You paid a price in studying the scriptures like we're doing right now. You're paying a price for that. So when you're building an ark in somebody's life and you're prophetically decreeing a thing and prophetically declaring a thing in somebody's life, they can stand on that word. Right. When Jesus gave the people the word, they stood on that word. Look, I'm going away, but my comforter is going to come. What happened? The comforter came. Every word Jesus gave has come to pass and is coming to pass because he paid for it. Okay, so I'm trying to move on past that. So, my God, this is so powerful. Oh, I can go so deep into this. In verse 8, how he sent the raven and praise God. Listen, he found the dove. He sent for the raven. The raven went forth to and fro until the waters would dry up. Then he also sent a dove, all right? But the dove found no rest, so the dove came back to the ark and so stayed another 7 days. Verse 11, so let me go back. Where? And so verse 11, so the dove came into him, and so after another 7 days, verse 10, again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. Y'all know what the olive represent, okay? No one knew that the waters were abated from the earth. It was the Holy Ghost. Now the raven, which is a dirty bird, okay, that just feed off anything. That's how some of these prophets are. They just, and some people are like, this ravens eat anything. I mean, just sit at anybody's table. And this thing, when Noah, when the prophet sent the raven out, it just fluttered back and forth, whipped back and forth. But when that dove went out, the Holy Spirit went out to let the people know, no, it's not yet time. And it came back and brought the word back. The second time when Noah sent that dove out, that dove brought back the olive leaf and let them know, hey, all is well. You understand what I'm saying? So this is how the people are going to know that the trial has ended. They're going to know that the season of their life is ended. The Holy Ghost is going to partner with you as you build that ark. The Holy Ghost of God is going to marry that word, and he's going to work with that word, praise God, and he's going to let the people know when you can come out the ark, when they can come out of the ark. Isn't God's word awesome? God's word is awesome. So one last point I want to make now. We talked about Noah's ark. I want to talk briefly about Moses' ark, all right? Because Moses had an ark too, and this is found in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. Let me get there. This is Moses' ark, Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, talking about Jochebed, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Doesn't it sound familiar? And she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, here again, you find that this was no ordinary floating device. You got to understand the infant Moses was being thrust out into the Nile River, okay? You're talking about creatures, okay, in that river that could have easily overcome Moses. But see, the thing of it is, the ark had already been spiritually built for Moses back in Genesis 15:3. Genesis 15:3 says this, and the Lord God said to Abram, now this is before Abraham even became a father, all right. Again, I'm talking to prophetic people, how God gives you things way ahead of time. You know, he will provide a way of escape way ahead of the storm. That's why it's so important to be connected to prophets and connected to prophetic people and to exercise the gift of prophecy or to tap into the spirit of prophecy when you're in that air, in that atmosphere, because you don't know what people need to hear. You understand? This is why it's so important to get delivered from ulterior motives, grandstanding, manipulation, Jezebel, whatever that thing is, because you're really doing God's people a disservice. Because when you're prophesying, you're not really hearing from God. You know, you're hearing from your own soulless realm, or you're pulling from the second heavens where the prince of power reigns. And so you're not bringing true and authentic and genuine and life-saving words to the people, so that when they go through things, they are overtaken and overwhelmed because no one built them a proper ark. They gave them an ark, but they didn't have any pitch to it, had no slime to it. Praise God, they got an ark that's just built with a flesh word or built with cheap material. And the minute they get out there in the middle of their trial, the devil consumes them. They backslide, they won't come back to church, they won't come back to the Lord, they divorce, they don't, you know what I'm saying? They just, you know, and I'm not saying divorce is the final option, but what I'm saying is sometimes God will use you to warn a couple, hey, if y'all don't do this, I see this happening, so this is what you need to do. You understand what I'm saying? It's the wisdom. Bible said, by wisdom, you build your house, okay? And the Bible said, even a foolish woman will tear it down. So wisdom builds a house. That's why God gives prophetic people wisdom. And if you don't have it, ask God for it. Back to Exodus, Genesis 15:3. So God says to Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall serve them, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, God didn't tell them it was the Egyptians, because I believe, if you know what, God is so wise, sometimes God won't give us the whole conclusion of the matter. Because you know what, we'll go in and try to fix it. Now, what if God had told Abram, and y'all know the story, by the time he became a mighty man, praise God, he had armies, he raised up soldiers in his own house. Abraham went to fight for Lot and destroy what I think five kings in the process. So this man was a mighty man of warrior, a mighty man of war, a mighty man of valor. So now if God had told Abraham that the nation Egypt, you know, that who they shall serve, I will judge. I believe Abraham would have personally had an issue with that. And I believe he would have went to deal with it before it was time. So there was a reason why God allowed Israel to go down into Egypt. There was a reason why. Okay, may not make sense to us, but there's a reason why God even allows certain trials and certain tests to come our way. There's a reason why. Our thoughts are not like his thoughts. Our ways not like his ways. Don't even try to figure it out. Just go with God. So many things we won't understand until we come out. And in this particular instance, God could have very well told Abraham, hey, they're going to go down to Egypt. This guy's name is going to be called Pharaoh, this, that, and so forth. And the dude I'm going to raise up, his name is going to be Moses. He's going to be a mighty prophet. God could have gave Abraham all of that information, but he chose not to, for a very good cause. So, but he tells Abraham, he said, listen, know for sure to your seed is going to be a stranger in the land. They're going to be servants. They're going to be afflicted for 400 years. The nation that has enslaved them, I'm going to judge it, and I'm going to bring them out with great prosperity. So God had already built a spiritual ark for Israel. That spiritual ark had already been built. That spiritual ark had already been built even for Moses. Okay, he had several spiritual arks built. He had the spiritual ark built because during the time of his of that crisis, there was a edict that was published for all the males, 2 years and under, to be killed. All right, because Pharaoh knew, somebody told Pharaoh that there's a deliverer. Okay, and so now he went out to try to kill and assassinate, you know, God's plan, which, you know, that's futile. That's crazy. You can't stop God's plan. But he tried. Praise God. But anyway, God had already had a plan in place. So God had already put in Jochebed's mind what to do. You understand what I'm saying? This woman knew by prophetic insight. She knew what to do because the prophetic word had already been released. And so this is what I'm saying to us as prophetic people. When we release the words of instruction to the people of God, the words of warning or forewarning, and we give them the counsel of the Lord, give them the wisdom of the Lord, when they come upon the time of their trial, that word, the word of God, the Lord said, I'm going to bring that word back to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit of God is going to remind them, remember that prophet told you, remember you read that in that book, Remember you heard that on that line that Wednesday? Remember so and so and so? This is what you need to do. And God is going to give them the understanding because you built an ark. You built a safe place that when the storm comes in their life, they don't perish. They don't faint. They don't backslide. They don't draw back. But they move forward. And they're moving forward with skill. And they're moving forward with insight. And they're moving forward with tools and they're being equipped with everything that they need to endure this thing. So when Jochebed, when she heard, I can imagine when she's hearing the wailing mothers of sons who were executed in the streets, I can imagine this woman rose up. She had a young prophet's daughter by her side. Praise God. This woman rose up and she put the plan in motion. She put the plan in motion. And when she did that, she put Moses in the ark. And it wasn't just an ordinary ark. She pitched the ark. It was so she had an ark of protection to protect her family. And then she, in turn, prepared an ark of protection for her son. So you see how this thing can even work generationally, how as you're preparing yourself for the times of devastation to come in your life, you're also teaching your children how to be prepared for things that come upon their life, right? Because the Lord said, teach your children and your children's children, teach them these things so that when these types of trials come upon them, they know how to stand. You know, we can't be selfish and hold God to ourselves. Share the Lord with your kids. Amen. So, trying to finish up here. So she puts him in this ark and she pushes him down the river, one of the most dangerous places. I mean, this child is defenseless. All right. He's defenseless. He couldn't do nothing. But let me tell you something. That ark was waterproof. That ark was soundproof. So even if he cried, the Egyptian soldiers couldn't find him. I mean, come on, y'all. When you think about it, this thing was soundproof. It was waterproof. It protected him. It protected his sound. It protected his life to the point that when he got down to where he needed to be, when that ark got to where it needed to be, then it was opened by the woman who would be the next dimension of Moses' life. Okay? So God has so much to be said about that. Okay? Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Come down, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So the ark, God built that ark prophetically in Genesis 15:13 before Abraham ever had a child. Okay? That word came. God had already built that ark in the realm of the spirit. So Genesis 15:13, God builds the ark. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, Jochebed builds another ark by virtue and by strength of the prophetic word of her forefather. So by virtue of the strength of this prophetic word, she builds the ark. Okay, and she protects that same child that God had already prophesied in Genesis 15:13. And so now we see the manifestation of it in Exodus 3:10. Come now, the reason why I protected you, the reason why I didn't allow the crocodiles and the alligators and the sharks or whoever, whatever was dwelling in that Nile River, the reason why I didn't allow the Egyptian soldiers to find you crying in that basket, in that ark, the reason why is because I have a destiny for you. I have an appointed assignment for you that nobody on the earth can fulfill but you. Come now, therefore, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. In other words, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. I'm going to use you now. God, I have prepared an ark for you. Now you be an ark for somebody else. And Moses' life became an ark. As Moses stood up on the scene and went before Pharaoh, he contended against this principality, this prince demon, okay, that had enslaved and that had bound up the people of God for hundreds of years. God used Moses to become an ark. He himself became a place of safety. As long as the people followed him, where he lived, even in the wilderness, when he lifted up that rod, praise God, they saw miracles. He called bread from heaven, water from the rock. He raised up soldiers. He broke that Egyptian mentality off of those who would subscribe to it. And he brought the people to a point to where they could cross over. Even though he himself couldn't go, he didn't stop them from crossing over. So I leave this word with you, people of God, to be encouraged in the Lord, to not look at your gift or your office, your ministry of the prophetic in your life as just trying to give somebody something, okay? It's bigger than that and it's deeper than that. God wants you to grow roots in your prophetic ministry to the point that you're so sound and established in the word of counsel, word of wisdom, amen, that you can in turn impart that into somebody else's life so that when there's a devastation that comes their way, they can stand. You have built them a foundation to stand on. And even in the book of Ephesians, the word of God talks about how the apostles and the prophets that God has used them as the foundation. God uses them to give the people a place to stand, okay? So that they don't have to be tossed to and fro. They don't have to be shipwrecked. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to be overcome. They have a place to stand. Not to say you won't go through, but to say that when you do go through, it won't take you out. If you can stay on that foundation, if you can abide in that ark, if you abide in me, the Lord said, you know, and abide in that vine, okay, and stay connected. Amen. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can do all things. So I prophesy to you today, those of you who God is calling to be ark builders, to use your mouth as a hammer, amen, use your mouth as a screwdriver, amen, as a drill, and build the people of God, amen, edify, build, make the people of God strong, make these marriages strong, make these ministries strong, make these businesses strong, make their financial health, their physical health strong, amen, use the gift of prophecy and the ministry of the prophetic, use it to the glory of God. Use it like Noah did. In the face of adversity, you're still building. In the face of accusation or ridicule or humiliation, you're still building. Because you're going to understand, people of God, that not only are you building that ark for somebody else, but listen, you can't. There's a law of reciprocity that God honors. The seed that you sow in somebody else's life, God in turn allows you to reap it. And can I tell you something? This is why I'm so passionate. Well, this is one of the reasons why. First of all, I'm a teacher by trade, okay? But this is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate in teaching the unadulterated word. This is why I'm so passionate in loving on God's people. This is why I'm so passionate in equipping them and in raising them and ministering to them despite what I'm going through. You know, listen, some of these days when I conduct these teaching lines, some of you have no idea some of the storms that I'm facing, okay? But I'm old enough in God to put that thing on pause. You know, that's a word. I can put my hell on pause to minister heaven to you. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said it like this. He said, death works in me, that life works in you. Jesus did the same thing. I'm going to give my life so that you can live. So when you can mature, and many of you are already there, and I bless God for you, but for the overwhelming majority, come on, there's still a lot of growth and development that needs to take place. But, you know, for a lot of us, we haven't gotten to that place yet. We still prophesy on our emotions. We're still looking at people crazy. We still wonder when it's our turn. And you're just missing it. You're just missing it, okay? And God wants you to get it. God wants you to get why you're called. He wants you to get who you're called to. And he wants you to get what your call is. That God wants you to know that. And he wants you to spend time in his presence and spend time in the company of wise counselors, okay? He wants you to spend time in the company of wise counselors so that you can be made aware of certain things that are taking place in your life. And that's why I feel like this prophetic mentoring and counseling, I feel like that's why God has birthed it. And that's why I'm faithful to it no matter what I'm going through. Now, there may be times when I just can't do it. Believe me. And when I can't do it, I really can't. But just to say I'm tired or I'm going to go shopping, that's not an excuse. You, once you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. And I say I certify those of you whom God has given you some para-ministries and things to do. And listen, there may be seasons where God may just pull you in and strengthen you, refresh you. I get it. You understand what I'm saying? That's different. When God ordains a time of peace and quiet. But you don't get to ordain that for yourself. So if God has called you to do a work, you do that, okay? You do that. Jesus said, how can you sleep? You know, you can watch 1 hour. You understand what I'm saying? Some of us can't watch 1 hour. And I'm figuratively speaking, you know, some of us faint in that 1 hour. We just don't have that the stamina. We don't have that endurance to stay faithful over that 1 hour. You know, when Christ really needs you to be functioning in the kingdom. So, you know, it's important to be faithful over what God has called you to. And if he gives you time to rest, to relax, then use that time wisely. But you don't get to set that clock for yourself. All right. He owns time concerning your life. So be that hedge, be that ark builder. All right. As you release a word to others, God will prepare and look after you in your time of need. And for some of us, some of the reasons why we're not seeing breakthroughs and, you know, we're stagnant You know, spiritually, we're just not growing in God. We're not moving in God. Our words, we're just recycling prophecies. What we heard or what we said last year, we're in the same boat, okay? And the Lord is saying, come out from there. Come on out of there and go to a higher place. He said, come on up higher. I want to show you some great things. And pay the price. Pay the price for the next level of anointing. Pay the price for the next level of revelation. Pay the price for the next level of wisdom, okay? Pay the price for it. And God will bless you tremendously. Amen. So we're going to conclude this session for today. I pray that we've said something to encourage your heart, to bless you. And as I leave the line on today, I just pray to the Father in Jesus' name that that as the Lord ministers the life of Noah and the life of Moses to you, even the life of Jesus Christ, even the life of Apostle Paul, that you will understand that you are called to be different than this circuit that we're seeing in prophetic ministry nowadays. God has taken us to another dimension of prophesying, and he's moving us away from the material things. Material things, listen, people don't need a prophetic word for that. They just common sense will tell you some things, but God is, he's moving us past what we're seeing on the mainstream. He's moving us past from that, and God wants us to get to back to his heart as it pertains to why prophetic ministry is needed, and why he needs seasoned prophets and seasoned prophetic ministers, and why he needs us to be grounded and rooted in the word, so that when the people of God are going through circumstances, there's that rhema word right there in your mouth. There's that hammer right there in your mouth that's going to speak, and it's going to build a sure foundation that's going to uphold the people of God when they're going through. So I'm going to release that grace in your life. I'm going to release, the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and that grace enabled him to build an ark. And I'm going to release that prophetically over you, praise God. And I pray you receive it. I pray you can manifest it in your life. I pray you will demonstrate it in your ministries. And I pray that you will stay faithful despite the criticism, despite the whatever you have to go through. That grace that you found in the eyes of God will enable you and will empower you to finish your course and to finish it well. And that it will enable you to build arcs for the people of God. Build an ark for your family. Build an ark even for your enemies, praise God. Build a place of safety for the people so that when the enemy comes, he can't breach that threshold. He can't get across that door and he can't destroy their lives. So may the Lord bless you. May his face smile upon you. May you walk in favor. May you walk in peace. Amen. May every prophetic promise that God has made to you concerning your life come to pass. God bless you.